Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever?
Coming crew.
Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to continuing coverage of the Rust shooting trial against Alec Baldwin from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now back to the courtroom.
You swear affirm under penalty of law that the testimony you'll give in this case will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I will.
All right. Have a seat, tuck into the mic.
Good afternoon, sir. Would you please introduce yourself to the members of the jury?
Good afternoon. My name is Alessandro Pietta. I come from Italy. I am a gun manufacturer. I am actually the guy that made the gun that been used in the movie.
Thank you.
Sorry. You
have to answer her.
Oh, sorry.
I appreciate all the information, but I have to ask you a question, and then you answer the question.
Sorry.
All right, so you've told us you're a gun manufacturer,
yes,
is that right?
Yes, I am.
And what company do you own?
It's named FAB, Fratelli Pietta.
And do you manufacture Pietta firearms?
Yes, that's the name of the company in English.
How long have you been manufacturing firearms?
The company has been founded in 1963 from our lab. And my brother and myself are running the company since 2000.
And are you familiar with how Pietta firearms are actually made?
Yes, of course.
And how are you familiar?
I've been working in the company since 1995, and I've been taught by my dad how to produce a gun and assist my brother producing, studying engineering demo.
Does Pietta firearms have quality control measures and inspections of their firearms?
Yes, we do.
And what are those?
We start from raw material, and then we check all the machining part, and then we got other quality control on the assembly department, and of course before shipping the gun to the customer. So we got several steps in our procedure line.
And does Pietta Firearms use, what kind of manufacturing technology does Pietta Firearms use?
Well, we've been involved a lot in the Industrial 4.0. That means that we are using the most actual manufacturing technology available on the market.
So you're basically high-tech technology?
Yeah, we use CNC machine, full control robotic system. It's not just by hand, but also use the modern technology.
Okay. So, excuse me, what does Pietta Firearms do to ensure that a gun that leaves Pietta Firearms doesn't have any defects? And Mr. Pietta, if I can just have you pull the microphone a little closer and then speak a little slower.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
And then if you could just speak a little slower, please.
Sure. We do have our quality control operation, but being an Italian manufacturer, by law, we have to send the gun to a national proof house. It's not a private company, but it's a public company. And all the guns that we produce, all the guns that are imported or made in Italy, need to be tested by this proof house. They have their own standard quality controls, and they also give us a certificate, and they stamp on the gun their marks. So there are different systems that we use to check the gun.
What is a proof house?
A proof house is a public company that shoot the gun, test the gun, take a certain dimension. We have CIP homologations that is different from the American, it's called SAMI, but they're very similar in the concept. We have certain dimension and DB check in order to be sure that the gun works properly. They also shoot the gun higher pressure, so they know that the gun will not blow up during your regular training section. And of course, they check all the safeties on the guns.
So before the gun leaves your company, Pietta Firearms, do you guys do checks of the guns first?
We do our own final check for quality reports. That means that we also looking for aesthetical defects. And of course, we do our own quality on the trigger pull or on the action to be sure that everything in proper situation.
And so in addition to that, then it goes to the proof house and they do their checks as well?
The proof house check the gun as a piece of steel, if you pass that name. I check the gun for the customer because they want to get a nice gun, so without any scratches or without any cosmetical defects.
Does that also involve checking the internal parts of the gun to make sure that there are no defects?
That's done before by our quality control office, and we do that in the company.
Okay. I'm going to show you what's been marked as State's Exhibit 50.
No objection.
Your Honor, being that there is no objection, I would move into evidence State's Exhibit 50 and ask to have it published. On the screen in front of you, Mr. Pieta, is State's Exhibit 50. Do you recognize that?
Yeah.
What
is
it?
It's one of our single-action revolver. Probably, actually, it's written 45 long call, that's the caliber, 7.5 barrel length.
Are you familiar with this particular gun?
I know this gun because I know that gun has been produced for a trade show called SHOT Show and has been shipped to Vegas, that for, in particular for that show.
Were you involved in the manufacture of this particular gun?
I was personally involved producing this sample for that trade show.
And do you recall when this gun was manufactured?
I guess 2016 or 2017.
How do you manufacture this particular firearm?
Well, I would not say manufacture. I could say I prepare this gun, because being a replica, we need to make our customer happy. And of course, our main customers are collectors. So when we prepare a new sample or a new model, we study the books. So we study the American history and we look for details just to make a new model. That's why I've been involved to introduce this gun during this trade show.
So you said this was a single action revolver?
This is a single action type revolver. It means that every time you want to shoot, you need to pull the hammer, cock the hammer and pull the trigger.
Is that what a single action means?
Yes.
So you have to cock the hammer before you pull the trigger?
Yes.
Is this different from other Pieta single action revolvers?
It's different on outside because the details are different. We are not used to make any marks on the grip, or we are not used to make write the caliber on the trigger guard. This is basically is the same gun with a different configuration.
So are the internal components of this gun the same as for others?
Yes, correct.
Are the internal components of this particular gun, are they interchangeable with other Pieta single action revolvers?
Yes, they do.
Now, is the hammer to this Exhibit 50 that we see in front of us, is that different from other Pieta revolver hammers?
As the sides of the hammer and being polished just to create a different color.
Okay. But is it similar in as far as specifications?
It's the same.
It's the same to other firearms? Mm-hmm. I'm going to show you what's been admitted into evidence as State's Exhibit 6. If I can have the deputy bring it up and ask you to put on some gloves.
Sure.
So you can.
Yes. go. No, I don't.
He has them.
Oh, right. Good. Thank you.
If you can open the box, Mr. Pieta. Do you recognize what's in there?
Yeah. It seems to be the same gun that's on the screen.
And I'm going to show you what's been marked as State's Exhibit 51.
No objection.
I move into evidence 51, Your Honor, with no objection. Now, if you can take a look at that firearm, Exhibit 6, that's in front of you, does it have a serial number?
Yes, it is.
And I'm going to put on the screen State's Exhibit 1. Do you recognize that?
Yeah, that's our invoice that probably has been used to ship the gun to EMS.
Does this invoice contain or list this particular gun that's in front of you, Exhibit 6?
Can I check the serial number?
Yes, please.
Can I touch the gun?
Yes, with your gloves. Okay.
Yeah, it's the same serial number.
Okay. So did Pieta Firearms then ship this gun, Exhibit 6, per this invoice?
Yes, we did.
And when and to whom was it shipped?
It's been shipped to EMF Company. That is one of our customers that show with us during SHOT Show. So to get the gun outside, inside United States, we need to get someone to get all the license to import the gun for us. That's why this sample has been shipped to EMF.
What kind of a company is EMF?
EMF is an importing company, and they sell to distributors, dealers, and to individuals.
Is EMF associated with Pieta Firearms?
Yes, it is.
How?
We, Alberto and myself, own EMF.
So you own EMF?
Yes, we do.
Okay. And so when did you ship this particular firearm that's in front of you to EMF?
It's written on the invoice. 27 November 2017.
So that's when it left Italy to go to EMF?
Yeah.
Okay. Now let me go back to ask you a question about this hammer. You had said that it's nickel-plated because it's this was for a particular...
No, it's not nickel-plated, it's just polished.
Oh, polished, I'm sorry. Does that change its functionality?
No.
Did this particular gun go to the proof house?
Absolutely.
And was it approved by the proof house?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
And how can you tell?
Well, there are some marks on the frame, clearly on the top of the serial number. So you can see them. There's also another proof mark on the cylinder, so they're easy to understand that this gun has been approved by the proof house.
And what does that mean to you as a gun manufacturer that's been approved by the proof house?
That we have produced a good gun, follow the CIP regulation, and the gun can be sold to anyone. Without that marks, we cannot sell or produce or export any gun.
Now, once it comes to the United States, do you know if your guns or these guns that you import are also subjected to testing by American agencies?
No, actually, all the guns that want to be imported in the United States need to be approved by ATF first. So when we start producing this single action revolver, we send a sample or few samples to ATF agent and they approve the gun for us.
Do you know what ATF does in order to approve the guns?
Mostly they have a schedule with details, so they need to check if our guns, actually a gun, match their requests. And also they got a, they call drop test. It is used to see if the gun is safe enough to avoid any kind of malfunction.
You said a drop test. What do you understand that to be?
A drop test means that the gun has to be approved. They have a safety, and in this particular gun, the safety is on the cylinder. And they put the safety on, they put a primer, not a live round, of course, a dummy. They put the hammer in the first notch, so the firing pin is line with the primer, and they take a weight, let it drop at 8 or 4 feet, something like that, 5 times, and the gun, the system should not shoot. If that is okay, they give us, they approve the gun.
And so does your P at the firearm revolvers get put through that test by ATF?
Absolutely.
And that's to test to make sure it doesn't fire on its own?
No, that test means that we have safety on the gun.
Are you familiar with how this particular gun fires?
What that mean?
Well, what does it take to
You need to cock the hammer and pull the trigger.
Do you know if this gun that you have in front of you will fire without a pull of the trigger?
Actually, this gun cannot fire because from what I see is missing some parts, so...
Okay, I'm talking about when it was first
manufactured. Oh, sure, of course.
Does it fire? Would it fire without a pull of the trigger?
No.
Why not?
Because the mechanic, the design of the armor and the trigger has been designed since Samuel Colt made this gun to work in that way.
And can you explain under what circumstances it will only fire?
Well, when you cock the armor, the trigger will engage the firing knock position. That is the farthest one, so the last position on the armor. And if you want to release the armor, you need to pull the trigger. The trigger is just a sear that locks the armor in that position. And if you want to do that, you need to pull the trigger.
Now, is there also a manufacturer's warning about whether or not the firing pin should be on a sitting on a primer?
Well, actually, it's not just a manufacturer. It's a standard rule between shooter. When you carry your gun, in this particular gun, to load just only 5 ammo and not 6.
Why is that?
For safety reason. So you will know that you will not, if eventually the gun falls down, nothing else.
What could happen if the gun falls down and the primers?
Most of the time, nothing, because the armor is against the frame. And so if you hit the ground, the primer will not shoot the primer. So it's just a safety rule that I've been taught to every kind of shooter. So I've been a shooter for myself, and that's what they told me to do. So load 5 rounds on the cylinder instead of 6.
And will it fire? Let's say you load 6, mm-hmm. And what could happen if you load 6?
Nothing really, just need to know that you load 6 rounds instead of 5.
Okay, but if you have the firing pin on the 6th mm-hmm. round?
If the firing pin is in the rest position when the hammer is down the frame, so the firing pin is not against the primer, nothing happens, because if you want to shoot the primer, you need to apply a certain quantity of force to shoot it. So you can get a thick touch on the primer, but the gun will not shoot.
If the firing pin is actually on the primer?
Close to.
Okay. But you had said that if the firing pin is on the primer and you drop the gun, what could happen?
Usually, it's based on the primer technology. The powder in the primer is not at the top of the primer, it's just a little in the middle. So you need to press it a little more, and when you reach that point, you can shoot the load under the firing.
So what I'm hearing you say, it sounds like the only way you can fire this gun is by pulling the trigger?
That's the way that should be done.
Is there another way to fire this gun?
No.
May I have a moment, Your Honor? Let me ask you, what condition was this gun in when you shipped it, when Pieta shipped it to EMF?
As I said before, this gun has been produced for a trade show. So we ship the gun without the firing pin. That is mandatory for this trade show, that all the guns are safe. And doing that, there are inspectors that check all the guns for us and put a tag. So the customers will know that they cannot use the gun to shoot anybody.
So not having a firing pin in that gun while it was used in trade shows, does that alter it or change it in any way?
Well, you are missing one part, that's it.
But does it change any internal components of it?
No.
Now, did Pieta Firearms own EMF during the time EMF owned this gun?
Yeah.
To your knowledge, did EMF do anything to this gun? May I have a moment, Your Honor? Just a couple more questions, Mr. Pieta. When Pieta Firearms shipped this to the United States, to EMF, did it send the firing pins with it?
I don't remember. Okay. So.
How hard is it to install a firing pin?
Pretty easy, just a pin and that's it.
Thank you, sir. I have no further questions, but the other lawyers will.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Pieta.
Good afternoon.
Just have a couple of questions for you. We'll be out of here quickly. I heard you say that you personally made this gun. Is that right?
Yeah.
And it was shipped from your company, Pieta, in 2017?
Yeah, that's what it's written on the invoice.
Between 2017 and October 21, 2021, you don't know how this gun was handled by any particular individuals. Is that correct?
No, I have no idea.
Your knowledge of the gun's functionality was limited to November of 2017 when it was shipped from your company. Is that fair?
That's not correct, because my knowledge about this gun was also during this trade show that's been held in January. So probably the last time I saw the gun was in January.
So roughly beginning of 2018.
Yes, correct.
And so you don't know what condition the gun was in on October 21st, 2021 when it was being used on the Rust set by Mr. Baldwin. Is that correct?
Correct.
And before the gun was sent to the FBI for testing in 2022, you were not asked to inspect the gun. Is that right?
Correct.
And in fact, the Santa Fe sheriff didn't ask you any questions about the gun at that time.
No.
Isn't that right?
Correct.
Or at any time.
I never see anyone except today.
Even though you personally made it. Is that correct, sir?
Correct.
And so the first time that you had seen the gun since about early 2018 was about 2 months ago, isn't that right?
I saw the picture of the gun during a preview interview that we got on Zoom, in a Zoom meeting.
Someone held up a picture of the gun on a Zoom meeting.
Yeah, this picture probably.
And that was the first time since 2017 you had seen the gun, yes?
Well, of course I got this picture on my computer, but I never recall that was the one that was sent to everybody else.
And at that point the gun was already broken, correct, sir?
It's the first time I see the gun, I may say yes.
Great, thank you. No further questions.
Who's your next witness?
Your Honor, the state calls Justin Neal.
All right. Do you swear affirm under penalty of law that the testimony you'll give in this case will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Have a seat tucked into the microphone.
Did they take the gun?
Yes.
Okay, I need it. Thank you. May I proceed, Your Honor? Good afternoon, sir. Would you please introduce yourself to the members of the jury?
Yeah, my name is Justin Neal.
And, sir, how are you employed?
I own my own marketing firm.
And what kind of work do you do? What kind of marketing work?
My marketing firm is a very stereotypical ad agency, and we have another leg to our company where we recruit and manage sales reps for our clients.
What kind of clients do you have?
Primarily outdoors.
And are you affiliated with Pieta Firearms?
Yes.
How?
Pieta's a little bit more robust than the other clients I have. I essentially handle North America for them, as it pertains to sales and marketing, and I also handle EMF, which they are part of, as their sales and marketing.
What is EMF?
Early Modern Firearms is an importer, and it's based out of Santa Ana, California. They have been in business for 65-plus years, very much back in the day. They used to supply a lot of firearms, Pieta and otherwise, to Hulk.
Who owns EMF at this time?
Alessandro and Alberto Pieta.
And how long have they owned EMF?
I believe 2017.
And what exactly is it that you do for EMF?
I handle, again, the sales of the guns that they have of Pieta's. EMF only imports and distributes. Distributes meaning sells to retailer Pieta Firearms. So I handle the sales of Pieta Firearms through EMF, through distribution.
Are you required to have a federal firearms license?
I am.
And why is that?
I am an RP on the FFL for EMF. There has to be two responsible parties, and the Pieta family or the Pietas entrusted in me to be one of the RPs on that FFL.
And RP is what?
Responsible party.
And what does the responsible party do?
The responsible party is responsible for the distribution, the importing of the firearms, and all the paperwork thereof.
So as the responsible party for EMF, are you also required to be aware of what transactions take place, what firearms are sold by EMF?
Yes.
Are you familiar with how EMF maintains its records of sales?
Yes.
In September of 2021, do you recall a transaction between EMF and a company called PDQ Arms and Prop?
Yes, ma'am.
How do you recall that?
I recall that because I saw the actual sales record or the shipping invoice and the packing slip.
I'm going to show you. Well, let me ask you this. How did PDQ contact you, or how is it that you guys learned that PDQ needed to purchase arms?
Yeah, they contacted EMF.
Okay. And what was the request for?
The request was for firearms that he saw on the website. EMF obviously has a website, and he wanted some revolvers. And at that time, 2021, was the heart of the pandemic, and Pieta and every manufacturer, gun manufacturer, was back ordered, so we didn't have any. The lady in which he talked to initially said, we do have display guns that we show at trade shows, and so we said we had those guns.
Let me show you what's been marked as State's Exhibit 52.
Mm-hmm. No objection.
Your Honor, the State would move into Evidence 52. I'm going to show you, before you is State's Exhibit 52. Do you recognize that?
I recognize it, yes.
What is it?
It is a Pieta single-action revolver.
And how do you recognize that is a Pieta single-action revolver?
Because that was a display gun that we had at some of the trade shows in which I attended and I monitored.
I'm going to show you what's been admitted as State's Exhibit 6 and ask you to put on some gloves and take a look at that gun.
Okay.
Yes, please. Do you recognize State's Exhibit 6?
Yes.
What is it?
It is the same gun that's shown on the screen, the Pieta single action revolver.
So it's the same gun as depicted on 52, State's Exhibit 52?
Yes.
And tell me, was this one of the guns that was sold to PDQ?
Yes.
I'm going to show you what's been marked as State's. Keep that in front of you because I may ask you some additional questions. If you can just close the box, but I will ask you some additional questions. Let me show you what's been marked as State's Exhibit 53.
No objection.
We'd move into evidence State's Exhibit 53.
State's 53 is admitted.
Neil, do you recognize what's in front of you as State's Exhibit 53?
Yes.
What is it?
It is a shipping report, and that is shipping invoice.
For from whom to whom?
From EMF to PDQ.
And when was that?
It was in 21, order date 9/29/21.
So on September 29, 2021, were these firearms that are listed on this invoice shipped to PDQ?
Yes.
And is Exhibit 6 that's in front of you one of those firearms that's on this invoice?
Yes.
Which one is it? You can actually touch the screen and it'll mark.
Oh, well. I'd have to see the serial number
on the gun. Okay, so if you want to look at the serial number of the gun in Exhibit 6. Actually, if you want to open it, and you can check the serial number.
Yeah, it's right here.
Is it not making a mark? It might be your gloves.
It's the third one. I've got gloves on.
Okay.
It's the third one. So, E52277.
This one right here?
Yeah.
So the number three, the third gun on the invoice, is Exhibit 6.
Yes.
Now let me ask you, when did you become affiliated with EMF?
2018.
And do you recall approximately, was it beginning, mid, end of 2018?
End.
And when you became affiliated with EMF, did EMF already have Exhibit 6 in its inventory?
Yes.
And did this gun, Exhibit 6, remain with EMF from the time that you were with them until September 29, 2021?
Yes.
And what did EMF use Exhibit 6, this particular gun, for?
To display at primarily industry trade shows, business-to-business shows, B2B shows.
So it was owned by the company the entire time?
Yes.
Did EMF do any work on this gun?
No.
Did EMF inspect it for quality assurance purposes?
Before each show, functionality. It wasn't... They didn't take apart the gun or anything, just to make sure it functioned properly. And then they would put it in a what we call a sock, which is basically a soft case.
And when you say functionality, what does that mean?
That the gun works properly, not firing it, never fired, just the four traditional click of a Colt firearm and the trigger work properly.
And at any point during 2018 to September of 2021, was there any indication that this gun malfunctioned or had any defects?
No.
What condition was it in when it was sold to PDQ on September 29, 2021?
It was in perfect condition as far as I know.
You said that it's, how often was this gun checked for functionality while it was owned by EMF?
We do approximately 5 shows a year, and so at least 5 times.
And you say 5 shows, does that mean, mm-hmm. is it in a display case?
Or? It is in a locked glass display case.
So people can't just come and grab it?
They can't grab it, no.
Do you also, let me ask you this before we move on to the next topic. When this gun was shipped to PDQ, do you know what it was shipped in?
Yeah, EMF follows standard operating procedures, which they do for any gun shipped, whether it's to a dealer, a big box store, distributor, influencer. It is in Pieta, makes and supplies EMF with a very hard styrofoam box that's molded for a single action, and it's placed in there, then a cover over the top of it that's fit to it, and then another cardboard box sleeve that slides over the top of that, sealed, and then it is put into another shipping box with whatever other guns or accessories the attended person or store requests.
Would that have been the manner in which it would have been shipped to PDQ?
Yes.
Do you also handle customer service calls for Pieta guns in the United States?
I handle quite a bit of the customer service calls, yes. Not all, but a lot.
Approximately how many would you say?
Over the years, since 2018, I probably on average handle 5 or 6 a month.
Okay. Have you ever received a complaint or a call about a Pieta revolver going off by itself?
Never.
Are you familiar with how this particular gun fires?
Am I familiar with how it fires?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Does it fire without a pull of the trigger?
No.
May I have a moment here?
Yes, I'm here. Counselor Furman.
If this particular gun, Exhibit 6, if it had displayed any defects in functionality, would it have still been shown at trade shows?
No.
Why not?
The purpose of Pieta or EMF going to a trade show is to sell firearms to FFL dealers, holders, not the public, but sporting goods stores, if you will. And if a buyer who wanted to specifically see this gun or any other was to hold it under our watchful eye, of course, and it was defective, he'd probably not buy that gun or any other gun that we have.
So would it be fair to say you put the best of the best that Pieta has to offer?
Absolutely.
May I have a moment? Thank you, Mr. Neal. I have no further questions.
Thank you.
Witness, Your Honor.
Thank you. You're excused, sir. Thank you. Next witness.
We're just a little out of order. Calls Corporal Alexandria Hancock.
Do you swear or affirm under penalty of law that the testimony you'll give in this case will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? All right. Thank you. Have a seat.
Just state your name for the record, even though I know it's repetitive.
Alexandria Hancock.
And how are you currently employed?
I am a corporal with the Santa Fe County Sheriff's Office.
And how long have you been with the Santa Fe County Sheriff's Department?
It will be 7 years in November.
And how did you become involved with this case?
In 2021, I was a detective with the sheriff's office. I was assigned to the violent crimes division. On that day, we had received a call for a shooting at a movie set on the Bonanza Creek Ranch.
And you said you were on duty, and I'm sorry if I didn't hear you. What were you at the time? Were you a corporal?
No, I was a detective.
And did you show up to the scene there at Bonanza Creek Ranch?
Yes.
Do you know approximately what time?
I believe it was between 2:30 and 3 p.m.
And so can you kind of give the ladies and gentlemen of the jury an idea of what was going on? Were you the only detective on scene? Were there other detectives? What was happening?
Yeah, so when we had originally, it's called a briefing, essentially, back at our office, at the sheriff's office, we had a short briefing with all the detectives that were there that day about what had been learned thus far as to what occurred on the ranch. And so after that briefing, the detectives were assigned at that point on who would be handling and who would be assisting. And then from there, the entire team of us went out to the ranch.
So approximately how many people were in the team?
I want to say maybe 5 or 6 of us.
And how does the sheriff's department traditionally, is one detective named primary, or are there more than one? How does that work?
Just one is primary, and then typically they will have a secondary just depending on the case.
And how did it work out with this case?
Originally with this case, a different detective, his name's Joel Cano, was assigned the primary detective, and then I was assigned secondary.
And just so that we're clear, at some point did you become primary?
Yes.
And at what point was that?
Probably at least a couple weeks later.
Okay. Now, in that interim, in those 2 weeks, were you actively working on the case?
Yeah, I was assisting with it.
And as the assisting detective, did you conduct interviews with witnesses on October 21st?
Yes, I did.
Who did you interview on that day? And then we'll back up.
Okay. On that day, I interviewed Hannah Gutierrez-Reed, David Halls, and Alec Baldwin.
So I want to be clear, you as the assisting detective interviewed all 3 of the people that were ultimately criminally charged?
Yes.
So if you were interviewing all of those, what I'm going to call sort of main players, what was the primary Detective Cano doing?
He was, on the day of the incident, he was interviewing the numerous people that needed to be interviewed back at the ranch.
And give us an idea of who those folks were.
That Detective Cano interviewed?
Mm-hmm.
They were people that were said to be inside the church at the time of the incident, or members that assisted with the armor.
Why was it necessary to have 2 detectives doing interviews at the same time?
Because of how many people were involved.
Okay. And have you continued to be the primary investigator with the Sheriff's Department on this case since 2 weeks after the incident?
Yes.
Now, when you were dispatched, well, it sounds like you weren't really dispatched, were you?
No.
Who called you in?
My lieutenant at the time, which was Mike Martinez.
And you indicated that you had a briefing.
Yes.
And tell us kind of what information you got at the briefing that you had before you went out to the scene.
Yeah, so during our briefing there at the office, we were told that there's a movie being filmed at Bonanza Creek Ranch, and then sometime during that day, you know, shortly before we were called in for that briefing, that 2 people had been shot on the set.
Did you receive information that this shooting had been characterized as an accident?
I do recall reading that on our CAT.
And as a detective with the sheriff's department, when you get called to a shooting that's being characterized as an accident, does that mean to you that there will be no criminal charges?
No.
Have you been dispatched or involved in accident investigations in the past that turned into criminal cases?
Yes.
So I just want to be clear. I know that the jury's heard some of this. So you interviewed Hannah Gutierrez, correct?
That's correct.
And what role did she have on the set?
She was the armorer, the main armorer on Rust.
And you also indicated that you interviewed someone named David Halls, is that right?
Yes.
Do you recall what his role was on the set?
He was the assistant director.
And then, of course, you interviewed Mr. Baldwin, and we understand that he's an actor, correct?
Correct.
I want to just take you back for a moment. During opening, did you hear the defense attorney say that Sarah Zachary was not interviewed on October 21st?
I did hear that.
Is that correct?
No.
Was Sarah Zachary actually interviewed on October 21st?
She was.
Who interviewed her?
Detective Joel Cano with the assistance of Detective Ray Arndt.
And who was Sarah Zachary?
She was the props master for us.
If you would try to explain to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury the relationship between the prop master and the armorer, based on your understanding.
What I understood between the prop master and the armorer, as it pertains to Rust, is that they're technically two different departments. They have different functions, different roles, do different things. But in the case of Rust, the prop master and the armorer assisted each other because of how what they would describe to be prop heavy this movie was.
And did you get an understanding of, when we say prop, exactly what we're talking about?
Yes.
So one of these gun holsters, would that be a prop?
Yes.
Would the guns themselves be props?
Yes.
Even the live gun, the real guns, I'm sorry.
Yes, that's correct.
And the ammunition, would that be considered a prop?
Yes.
Okay. And does that also include glasses and cups and plates and silverware?
Yeah, anything that an actor would use in a scene, excluding like wardrobe items.
Okay. And I understand that you indicated that Ms. Zachary was interviewed on the 21st of October by Detective Cano. Did you also conduct a follow-up interview with Sarah Zachary at a later date?
Yes, I did.
Do you recall approximately when that was?
I believe it was sometime in November.
So just the following month?
Yes.
And you testified that you conducted an interview with Hannah Gutierrez on October 21st. Did you also conduct a follow-up interview with her at a later date?
Yes, I did.
And approximately when was that, if you recall?
I want to say that was in November as well.
And you interviewed Mr. Baldwin on the 21st, correct?
Yes.
And did you have subsequent contact with Mr. Baldwin after the interview that you did on October 21st?
Yes, I did.
And how were you having contact with him? Was he in New Mexico, or how was that happening?
No, he wasn't in New Mexico at that point, but I would receive phone calls and sometimes text messages.
From Mr. Baldwin?
Yes.
Generally speaking, was it Mr. Baldwin reaching out to you or you reaching out to him?
It was him reaching out to me.
So he had your cell phone number?
Yes, my department's cell.
And just to be clear, do the defense attorneys also have your contact information?
They do.
Have they sent you text messages?
I don't know exactly her title, but members from their team, yes.
Okay, so they actually have your cell phone number.
Yes.
And you've made yourself available to them.
That's correct.
And you do that whether I'm there or not, right?
Yes.
With regard to your November interview with Ms. Gutierrez, did you have a conversation with Ms. Gutierrez about who loaded the gun?
I did.
And what did Ms. Gutierrez say?
That she loaded the gun herself.
And did you have a conversation with Ms. Gutierrez concerning the box of ammunition that was holding that one suspected live round?
I did.
And what did Ms. Gutierrez say?
That it would be a box that she would have provided.
So, my response, unless you want us to approach, is that these are statements against interest and they come in under that exception.
I don't believe that they are, but like I said, if it's information acted upon and Ross on it, it's fine.
All right, go ahead.
Did you have conversations? Well, let me ask you. Ms. Gutierrez indicated that she brought that box of ammunition on the set. Is that right?
That it was similar to one that she would have provided.
During that interview, did she produce a photograph for you?
She did.
And the photograph that she produced, did she tell you where she got it?
I don't know if she said in that interview exactly where she got it, but she did describe it to be a box like that was in the photo would be what she provided.
And the photograph that she showed you during the interview, did it match exactly the label on the box that contained the live ammunition?
Yes.
As you sit here today, do you have any question about who introduced the live ammunition to the set of Rust?
No.
Who do you believe it was based on your investigation?
Hannah.
Did you have conversations with Ms. Gutierrez about her firearms training?
The one that she conducted?
Yes,
or her own experience?
No.
Oh, go ahead. Come on.
You conducted an interview with Mr. Baldwin, is that correct?
Yes.
And did you learn during that interview whether or not Mr. Baldwin received any training regarding the use of these firearms?
Yeah, he had mentioned that he did a training session shortly after with, he said, Hannah, which was the armorer, and then I believe he said Sarah and their assistant, Nicole, was there.
Okay. And did you interview Seth Kinney?
Yes, several
times. How many times do you think you talked to him?
I don't know. I'm not sure I could put a number on it. Probably at least between 5 and 10.
Okay. And was Mr. Kinney cooperative with you?
Yes.
Did you request any search warrants in this case?
Yes.
What search warrants were requested?
I had drafted the search warrant for the prop truck as well as the search warrant for PDQ.
And PDQ, is that Mr. Kinney's business?
Yes.
Let me ask you, have you ever worked on a movie set before?
No.
And have you ever investigated a crime on a movie set before?
No.
On October 21st, 2021, did you know what a prop truck was?
No.
At some point through your investigation, did you learn what a prop truck was?
Yes.
And what's a prop truck?
It was an area that was used for storage.
Storage of?
This particular prop truck.
Yeah.
It was actually multiple departments that were using it. I don't know exactly which ones, but the armorer and the props department had approximately half of, like, the back of the truck.
And I think we heard previous testimony from Ms. Popple that the search of the prop truck didn't happen until the 27th of October, I think.
Yes.
Is that right? What was the delay?
Well, I was not the case agent at that time, and so I really wasn't the one in charge of the investigation. And so what happens with your case agent is they kind of develop the flow and decide what's needed based on the information that they have and what we need to get.
What was one of the first things that you did when you became the primary on this case?
Started reviewing a lot of information.
How long after you became primary did you request a warrant for the prop truck?
Well, I wasn't the primary at the time that I requested that warrant. I was assisting.
Okay.
And so, I mean, between the day that the incident occurred, which was the 21st, and then the day that the search warrant was, I think, applied and executed for, was the 27th, so 6 days.
And was the prop truck secured during that time?
Through my interviews, I found out that it was secured.
And how was it secured?
So the set, one of the individuals that worked on the set of Rust.
She knew it at the time.
This is information that she learned during her investigation.
But afterwards, it has nothing to do with.
When did you get that date?
In terms of when she learned? When did you learn? Let me ask you this. When you showed up on the 27th of October, did anyone meet you at the prop truck?
Yes, and then we also had deputies that went out there at least a couple days before we had drafted that search warrant to secure the truck with 24-hour surveillance.
So when you went to the prop truck on the 27th, did someone have to meet you there to open it?
Yes.
Who had to meet you there to open it?
Her name was Roe Walters.
Okay. So on that day, did you understand that it was locked?
Yeah, inaccessible.
Okay. Because she had to open it for you.
Correct.
And other than props, generally, tell us what other things were stored inside that truck.
There was a firearm safe with firearms in it. There were firearms outside of that safe. I think there were like a bunch of chairs in it and maybe some like shade tents and stuff like that. There was quite a bit of stuff.
After you were let into the prop truck and it was unlocked for you, describe for us the safe. How big is it?
Maybe about 4 feet tall and maybe about a foot wide.
And did someone have to come and unlock that safe for you?
Yeah.
Who was that?
Seth Kinney.
And when you executed the warrant on the prop truck, as it relates to this case, just summarize for us what you found.
I mean, we don't care about tables and chairs and stuff.
Additional firearms, more ammunition. I think that was kind of the major things that we got off of it.
And are you familiar with the ammunition that was provided to the set of Rust by Seth Kinney?
Yes.
Where was that ammunition found?
Inside of the prop truck in a bag.
And when you say in a bag, was it inside something else?
I'm sorry, I'm not understanding.
Was it just loose in a bag?
Well, it was inside of a box that was inside a duffel bag type.
Okay. Did you locate a black gun belt?
I don't think I was the one that located that.
Okay. All right. No problem. And we understand that you also executed a search warrant on PDQ. Is that right?
That's correct.
And that was on November 30th, I think we heard?
Yes.
So prior to executing that search warrant, had Seth Kinney talked to you about live rounds?
I believe so.
Do you recall, did Seth Kinney at some point bring live rounds to you?
He did.
Do you know whether that was before you searched PDQ?
It was before.
So you knew before you searched PDQ that he had live rounds because he took them and told you?
Yes.
Did you receive information prior to the search at PDQ regarding a green ammo can?
I did.
Who did you receive that information from?
From Thel Reed, which was Hannah's father.
In part, was it based on the information from Hannah's father that you executed the search warrant on PDQ?
Yeah, the information I learned from him was some of what I used.
And just to be clear, the reason that you went and searched PDQ, one of the reasons, is because Mr. Reed said Seth Kinney's got live ammunition, right?
Yeah, he did say that. He actually said that he was the one that picked up that live ammunition.
Who was?
Thel.
Thel picked it up.
Yes.
Okay. Now, Corporal, did it occur to you that Thel Reed may be giving you inaccurate information to protect his daughter?
Continue.
I'm just asking you, I'm not asking about anybody else. Did it occur to you when you took the information from Mr. Reed and got the search warrant, did you know who to believe at that point in time?
No.
Okay. And I want to be clear, did Mr. Reed, and this is just because of, this is just why you did what you did. Did Mr. Reed indicate that the ammunition at PDQ he thought was the same ammunition on the set of Rust?
Yes.
Did that turn out to be true?
No.
Even though, well, let me ask you this. The live ammunition that was collected from PDQ, did it just visibly look dissimilar to the live ammunition from Rust?
Yes.
Even though it looked dissimilar, did you send it to the FBI for testing anyway?
We did.
Did you ever discover any evidence throughout your entire investigation that Seth Kinney supplied live rounds to the set of Rust?
No.
Did you ever discover any evidence that Seth Kinney was present on the set of Rust until you met him at the prop truck?
No.
During your investigation, did you ever discover any evidence that Mr. Kinney modified or altered the gun that was provided to Mr. Baldwin?
No.
Did you ever discover any evidence that Ms. Gutierrez modified or altered the gun that was provided to Mr. Baldwin?
No.
Did you ever formally arrest Ms. Gutierrez?
No.
Does that have anything to do with whether or not she was ultimately convicted of a crime?
No.
Did you ever arrest Dave Halls?
No.
Do you know whether or not he was convicted of a crime at some point?
Yes, he was.
And the fact that you arrested him or didn't arrest him, did that have anything to do with it?
No.
As a law enforcement officer, do you always arrest people who then later are criminally charged?
Sorry, you mean like arrest them right away?
Do they have to be arrested in order to be criminally charged?
No.
Why would you not arrest someone?
To develop the investigation, if we're still waiting or investigating facts, trying to find information, and to get potential suspects or witnesses, whoever is involved, to cooperate with law enforcement.
Who makes the final charging decision in a criminal case?
The district attorney's office, essentially.
The prosecutor does, right?
Yes.
You guys don't. The law enforcement officers don't, correct?
Right.
Now, in addition to searching the prop truck and searching PDQ, did you also ask to search cell phones?
I did.
And whose cell phones did you search or ask to be searched?
I requested searches of Alec Baldwin's cell phone, Hannah Gutierrez's, David Hall's, and Sarah Zachary.
Did you review all of those cell phone extractions?
I did.
And when you review the cell phone extraction, what do you get to see? Do you get to see text messages?
I do.
You get to see photographs.
Yes.
When you reviewed the photographs from Ms. Gutierrez's cell phone, did you notice anything that stood out to you?
I did.
What was that?
There was a photograph taken, I believe it was maybe end of November, that she was, there was two bullets, two rounds, in I believe her hand, and it caused a little bit of concern, and then I think I actually had found a couple photos of it, and one of the bullets in that photograph was circled, you know, kind of how you can edit a picture, and it said, I believe it was dud. On top.
That bullet that was circled that said dud on it, was it a Starline brass casing?
It was.
Did it have a nickel primer?
Yes. Well, silver.
Silver, nickel.
Yeah.
Okay. Just in terms of the color.
Yes.
And in terms of the projectile shape, did it match the live rounds from the set of rest?
It did.
Jury, I want you to, instead of 8:30, I want you to be here at 9:30 downstairs. Please don't talk among yourselves or anyone else about the evidence received here in court. Thank you.
All rise to the jury.
Okay, we're not going to argue.
I don't think I'm going to have much of a response. I can probably just do it orally.
Okay, fine.
Because I've now figured out what we're dealing with.
All right. So, I told the jury to come back at 9:30. I want to be on time when they get here. So, I want you all to get settled and be prepared to have the case called and begin to argue the motion at 8:45.
No problem.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. And when you're finished with that, send it to me as well. Not just defense at 7:30 p.m. or whatever.
A couple have one instruction in a row spoken to by prosecutors.
Yes.
No problem.
Here she is. I can't see you. Okay.
I can't imagine she wants to speak
yes.
to me. But.
You're under oath. Don't talk to any witnesses.
Yes.
All right. Anything else?
Not this time.
Okay. All right. Thank you. We're in recess.
There's more to come in the Rust shooting trial against Alec Baldwin from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Press subscribe now.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Identity theft can cost more than you think. Drained investment accounts, stolen tax returns, lost wages, expenses for lawyers. It's a lot. That's why LifeLock is backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, which covers up to $1 million each for stolen funds, fees for experts and lawyers, and out-of-pocket expenses. Don't face the burden of identity theft alone. Protect your future and finances with LifeLock. Join now and save up to 30% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.